everyone. I just wanted to let you know that my book is available on Amazon, Behind the Pink Ribbon. You can pick it up digitally or in the print format. Thank you so much to all of you that have already purchased the book and those that have provided the feedback for it. On this episode, I had the opportunity to sit down and talk with Desiree Harge. She's the VP of Development for Don't Be a Chump, Check for a Lump. We talked about the founder of the organization, Holly Rose, why she founded the organization, the different supports and services that are provided, and then we also talked about the different fundraising events that they have going on this month. I think you'll enjoy it. Welcome to Behind the Pink Ribbon, where we share stories, information, and other content related to breast cancer. My name is Melissa Adams. I am a 12-year genetic breast cancer survivor. I've learned so much through my own journey with breast cancer. I have met some amazing people along the way, many that have become lifelong friends. I have experienced the emotional roller coaster of a breast cancer diagnosis, heartache, anger, frustration, loneliness, and even gratitude. Through this podcast, we will speak to breast cancer survivors, supporters, and healthcare professionals to gain insight and understanding behind the pink ribbon. I'm here today with Desiree Harge. She is the VP of Development for a local Arizona organization called Don't Be a Chump, Check for a Lump. So we have you live in the studio. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me here, having us on your podcast. We are very excited to be here.
Absolutely. So I want to talk a little bit about the organization. I want to first start with how it was founded, why it was founded, when it was founded. So some of those details. So I know that you're not the founder. Right. Holly Rose is the founder.
Absolutely.
So I'd love to hear a little bit about her story.
Absolutely.
With breast cancer.
So Holly went through breast cancer at the tender age of 39. She founded from a post that was on Facebook called Fill Your Boobies. And she had yet to have a mammogram. So she goes and she does her self-exam. And sure enough, there was a lump. She went through an entire year of extensive chemotherapy treatment, medicines, the process to heal her body again from the devastating disease of breast cancer. And after that, and I should actually go back through that process. She researched, she learned more about breast health, breast cancer, why she may have been diagnosed with it, and just more of the preventative side of what she could have perhaps done to lower her risk of breast cancer. And so after that, she made a vow to herself that she would not want to have anybody go through what she went through. So she started Don't Be a Chump, Check for a Lump. And that was back in 2009.
And at 39, she wasn't at the age that she would be going for a mammogram.
Exactly.
And so it was just kind of by chance that she found something and was like, maybe I should do a self-breast exam.
Exactly. And it was that post on Facebook, the Fill Your Boobie post, that prompted her to do the self-exam. And then she found, something suspicious. She felt something, I should say, suspicious. And then she went in, and sure enough, it was stage 3 breast cancer.
And that is, that truly is kind of crazy to just see a post on Facebook, not really thinking about it, not having been doing self-breast exams, and then all of a sudden just like, I'm gonna give that a shot, and
absolutely
find something.
Absolutely, it speaks to the imperativeness of education and prevention, right, and women having a sound understanding of breast health. And so for self-exams, it's very important because 70% of breast cancer is found through self-exam. It prompts one to, of course, check their breasts. And then if something suspicious, within the map in which they've created in their head is, an outlier, if you will, then they go and they have a screening and knock on wood, it's not, it's benign, but most times it's not, unfortunate, and it is a tumor and you have to go through the process. And hopefully, it's at a young stage, at a lower stage, as opposed to a 3 or 4,
right,
which is more critical. And the percentages of, of surviving, of course, decreases, unfortunately.
Right. And the craziest thing for me, I think, is just through hearing so many different stories with recording the podcast, so many people find theirs that way, where it's their first time doing something. So it's a first time for a self-breast exam, and then they find something, or it's their first mammogram and they find a lump. It's really just kind of crazy to me that for so many, it's their first.
Yes.
And sometimes their last mammogram.
Yes. Yes.
That happens. And yes. They have a diagnosis. So.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I can tell you a little bit about myself. At the age of 27, I did a self-exam. And long story short, went to my doctor immediately, like the day after. It took 72 hours. I went to, you know, the specialist that he recommended me to go to. And it was benign. But within that 72 hours, I had thought my life was over. I'm like, mm-hmm. There's a lump. It most likely is breast cancer. Breast cancer does not run in my family. However, I thought the worst of it, and thank right. God it was benign. But to be handicapped for that extended amount of time, I mean, I'm talking about like emotionally, psychologically, physically. I didn't want to do anything until I got the word back. It was horrible.
Yes.
It was horrible. And at the time, I didn't have insurance. So I was lucky enough to have financial means to pay for the 26 out-of-pocket costs in total that it was to ensure that, oh, okay, it is benign, or if it wasn't, that I can proceed forward. And I think about the women that don't have that mm-hmm. opportunity to, have, you know, immediate contact to their OBGYN, and then also to have those resources available to where that they can go if something is found. And receive the proper care, you know, needed. And it's not only the physical aspect, it's also the mental aspect.
Oh, absolutely.
That's emotional. Greatly mm-hmm. imperative, the emotional, absolutely.
For sure. So there are a couple of things that you talked about, and I think we'll touch on those a little bit later as we talk about what services and supports are provided.
Yes.
So when was the organization founded, and what was it that Holly felt was missing that prompted her to even start this organization?
Great question. So it was founded in 2009, and what she found that was missing was prevention and education. A lot of women and men, because we see there's an increase of male breast cancer within the last 5 years, 10 years, they don't have the breast health education or the prevention tools to lower the risk of breast cancer. And so for her, she was doing everything in her normal life that she's done for the last, up until that point, 39 years, from nutrition and wellness to exercise, but that wasn't enough. She didn't know what she didn't know, which a lot of people don't know. You don't know exactly. What you don't know. So once she started doing the research and having a sound understanding of breast cancer, that's when she was like, okay, this is something, if I didn't know and the people around me didn't know, who else doesn't know? So let's start educating not only my community, but also local Arizonans on breast health, breast cancer, and how to lower your risk and preventative measures instead of just treating. Why don't we talk about prevention?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that so much. And I think that is part of that piece that's missing, is it's the prevention and the education, and especially for women who are under the age of 40.
Yes.
We are very much dismissed.
Yes.
As, you know, being overly cautious or, you know, hypochondriacs or whatever, because it's not typical for somebody that age to be diagnosed with breast cancer. But because of people like Holly and the organization, we have been given a louder voice.
Yes.
And so I think you're right that, you know, so many people just are not aware of the things that they should be doing to help prevent breast cancer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's gotten better. And people are now, you know, they're sick and tired of the same-o, right? They want better. They want to live better. A better tomorrow only can come today.
And longer.
And they want to be healthy.
Yes.
They want to have a whole health, not just the physical, but again, going back, I'm a real big person on the mind, body, and spirit.
Yeah.
It goes back to all three. And if we don't have that equilibrium in all three, then we start seeing what we've seen in previous years and decades, and that's the devastation of cancer in general.
Right. Yeah. And that's a great point. I mean, I think you really, I love that you're hitting that nail so hard in terms of that mental and the emotional, you know, the mind, body, the spirit, because so many times the focus is only on the body and how do we heal that? And coming from 12 years ago when I didn't have the things that were available today, it was really truly only on the body and how do we heal the body. And I was a mess emotionally, and you know, my soul was just torn apart.
Absolutely. It definitely is a process.
Yes.
And oftentimes we're getting better, you know, we're getting better at realizing that it is the entire process. We no longer can just treat one aspect of it, but the entire. I mean, when we talk about the whole health of the woman, we really need to dissect and really have a understanding of what that looks like so that post, you know, the chemo treatment and whatever treatment that she goes through, that she has a better life going forward than what she had when
I mean, there are just so many emotional aspects of cancer in general.
Yes.
And then when you look at a female cancer, sometimes you're looking at removal of breasts.
Yes.
And not that that is what defines you, but it still is a part of your femininity that is so hard to give up.
Absolutely.
And, you know, losing your hair is emotional. And you know, not just hair on your head, but your eyebrows and your eyelashes and hair on the rest of your body.
Yes.
You know, those things are so emotional. And I get that doctors are, you know, that's what their training is. Their training is to treat the disease.
Yes.
I get that. But we definitely need to have organizations and other supports that help us to deal with that emotional aspect.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I love what you guys are doing.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit more about the organization and some of the things that you do to help support people with the prevention and the education piece of it.
Absolutely. So like we just, you know, talked about the whole education, wellness, and prevention. It's one of our programs, one of our three-tier programs, where we go out, we give presentations. We have an annual magazine that we publish, so we'll be coming out with the 10th edition in January of 2020, and that's a 72 spread.
Wow.
And a lot of love goes into that one.
I'm sure.
And a lot of course work. And I'm losing my train of thought. I apologize.
That's okay.
And so with that, we give them out to doctors' offices. We give them out to hospitals, to organizations, corporations, and anywhere we can spread the word in regards to breast health, breast cancer. And in the magazine, we talk about, you know, tips. We give tips, I should say. We give testimonies. We have spreads on doctors that talk about breast cancer that are in that realm that see patients day in and day out. And then also tips of, you know, how to lower your risk to breast cancer and prevention going forward as you know, continue on your daily life.
That's awesome.
So that's one program. Yeah.
Yeah. And 72 pages.
It's a lot.
So is that typical or is that just celebrating 10 years?
I know. So I started 2 years ago with Holly, and I believe at that time we had like 46 pages, and then the next year we had 60 something. So now it's at 72, and you see my eyes are getting bigger because it's just like, how big are we going to get with them?
Yeah.
And in the magazine, it's just Holly and I.
Wow.
We do have some input from outsiders, but it's Holly and I that constructs the entire magazine to put forth so that we can, again, educate the public on breast health.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how would somebody that maybe isn't going to a doctor's office or somewhere where, you know, they may not necessarily get exposure, how could they get a copy of the magazine?
Well, they can also go on our website. So we do have the electronic, the digital form where they can see, you know, everything that's in the physical is online again. And then also, you know, we have them at grocery stores. So at your Albertsons, at AJ's, at your Safeways, at your Fry's, at your Whole Foods, and so forth and so on. So we have them, you know, throughout the valley, not just in locations where it's a medical, you know, establishment.
And are you going to take that nationwide?
That's the talk. We don't know. Not currently, but maybe like in 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our 5-year goal.
I mean, I can't. Absolutely. I would imagine that, you know, there are so many people outside of Phoenix,
absolutely,
Arizona, that would absolutely love to have that information at their fingertips, but they can absolutely still access it digitally on the website.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we just recently expanded into Tucson, so we're going, you know, outside of Maricopa County, so we're heading over there. So, you know, baby steps.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah. That's exciting. So
yeah.
So that's one tier.
That's one
of what
tier
you do.
Yeah. So our second is our mammogram program, our mammogram and diagnostic testing program, where a woman could go on, or a man. I don't want to discount.
I love that you keep saying that and mentioning that, because I feel like, again, you know, it's a population that sometimes gets ignored.
Yes.
And I shouldn't even say sometimes. I would say that a lot of times they are ignored. So thank you for. You know, making that mention.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been a population, to your point, that has been overlooked for, you know, quite some time. And you know, this new explosion, if you will, of men being diagnosed with breast cancer is not new, but the number and the percentage that has increased is becoming very new.
Right.
So our mammogram program, a woman, again, or man, can go on to our website and fill out. It's a simple application. And once we receive it in our inbox, we approve of it, and then he or she can go to Assignment Med, imaging, or Solis Mammography, and we pay for that screening. And we've partnered with them. They are our annual partner. Mm-hmm. Simon Med has over 26 locations, so they're all across the valley and national. Solis Mammography has 4 locations here, and they're actually national as well. But they can go to any imaging, and we pay that bill. And then if something is found, we also pay for the biopsy, the ultrasound, the diagnostic testing, and the pathology report. And
that's extensive.
So it's very extensive. Yeah. It's very extensive. And it goes back to originally what I said about my own experience and that $2,600 bill, because that's the cost, you know, to ensure your health.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we want to ensure that women and men are being taken care of. And then once, if you know, additional resources are needed, then we have those additional resources with other facilitators that can help them on that journey.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. And so are these, again, just kind of local to Arizona, or is this, I mean, you said that the imaging centers are nationwide. So
correct.
Would it be available to somebody that would be outside of the state?
Unfortunately, right now, it's only local Arizonans that we actually are able to provide our services to.
Right.
Yeah.
5 years.
Our 5 years.
5 years.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, we are, again, a local, you know, based organization. And so within our community, we want to ensure that we are meeting their needs.
Sure.
And then once, you know, we feel like that foundation has been, you know, set, we can perhaps move, you know, outside of Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great.
I mean, yeah, go.
That would be great.
You have to set those goals, right? And you have to start somewhere.
You have to
start somewhere. And it, you can't, when you're setting up an organization like that, you know, I know that her heart and your heart would be to help anyone anywhere.
Yes.
But it has to be realistic when you're starting out.
Yes.
You have to have your focus.
Absolutely.
And know where to begin. And then from there, being able to expand.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Yeah. Maybe one day we can be the breast health of, or should I say the Oprah of breast health. You get a mammogram. You get a
mammograms for
you
everybody.
You all get mammograms. Yeah. And education and wigs for
that's
all.
Right. Yes, free mammograms to everyone.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
So our third is our new wig program.
So can I, I want to go back to the mammogram program.
No, absolutely.
So how does somebody qualify for that? Do they have to be uninsured, underinsured?
Great question. Yes. Yeah. Uninsured and underinsured are their targeted population.
Okay.
Because oftentimes, you know, we do have individuals that come that have insurance. Mm-hmm. And so their insurance, it's not that we won't see them, but once the billing comes, their insurance will actually, you know, pick up that cost for that particular screening.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So primarily it's underinsured or uninsured individuals.
Right. Yeah. And I did a research project when I was going back to school temporarily for my, I didn't graduate. So I went for a second master's degree in social work and realized I didn't need that to talk to people that had cancer. So I stopped. But I did a research project, and what I had done it on was cancer statistics and mortality rates for individuals who are uninsured and underinsured. And it truly is the population of underinsured that is not getting the services that they need, because they don't fit into any category cleanly.
Right.
You know, they don't have the insurance that's adequate enough to cover expenses, and they don't qualify for maybe some state support, you know, like somebody who's uninsured might qualify. So it was pretty staggering when I actually started diving in to see, like, oh my gosh, it's not even the group that's uninsured. It's the group that's underinsured. So I love that, you know, you guys are offering that support to that specific population again, because the mortality rates for underinsured individuals is so much higher.
Absolutely. And that's something that we've also found as well when it comes to individuals. I mean, we're talking about teachers. We're talking about, you know, women who are working. However, they're not working enough to be accepted into their insurance program, or they're working too much to be accepted into the state program. So they're the ones that are falling through the crevice. And that's where we can come in and be like, we have this incredible program. How can we help better assist you? What can we do for you?
Absolutely. I love it. So third tier is the WIC program.
And this is Holly's baby. She loves, you know, the WIC program, because it has such a profound, not that the other two don't, but the WIC program has such a profound impact on the women and their ability to battle and beat breast cancer. The ACS, American Cancer Society, did a study not too long ago where they showed 86% of women who wore a wig had confidence to battle and to beat, again, breast cancer. And so for us, we want to ensure that women have that, of course, confident, because, again, Holly is a survivor, so she knows how it felt, and she knows how it feels when you don't look like yourself. And so she wants to ensure that women are being, you know, taken care of. And this is one way that we can take care of them, is they come in and they fill out, well, actually go online, they fill out an application, and next thing you know, we can send them to any wig shop, and we pay the bill up to $250. So we're very excited about being able to do that. And currently, it's up to one a day that we're providing women, wigs too. So
And so how does somebody qualify for that?
So they fill out an application, and they send us their doctor's report, and then we approve, and then they go and pick out a wig, and then we get the bill. And
so it doesn't have anything to do with insurance?
Nope.
Okay. Nope, so even somebody who has, you know, quote unquote, good insurance, could potentially qualify for a wig.
Absolutely. Most times their insurance company will pick it up. But in the event that they're not, that they fall under, then that's where we can come in again and help with that.
Wow. I mean, that's a lot of work.
It is.
That really is a lot of work, and it's so important. And I love that you have multiple things that you're doing that really support people at different places within their journey.
Yes.
You know, starting at the prevention and the education, and then helping, you know, hopefully through that prevention and that education, people are starting to do breast exams, and they're starting to, you know, hopefully go get mammograms or whatever if they are at that age where it's recommended, but also being able to support women and men who don't have the means to get all of those diagnostic testing done, and then taking it to that next step where, you know, if they want to have a wig, that you would offer that wig. So there are just so many layers to this, and it's really, I feel like, capturing so many people on
so many levels.
So many different levels.
So that's awesome. You know, we hone in on also meeting women where they're at, meeting women and men where they're at, because we understand, you know, we understand how profoundly hard it is to get, you know, certain resources within certain communities. So we want to ensure that we have mom, you know, the mom mobile that comes out and have events, and we pick up, you know, that bill as well. Or, you know, we can go to an area and educate those on, you know, again, breast health in trying to start moving that needle so that people start becoming more proactive in it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love it.
Thank you.
So you guys do a lot of events.
Yes.
I know you have one big event that you do.
Yes.
And then you also have a number of different fundraising events that happen. So
let's
talk a little bit about some of the events that you are typically involved in, what you typically have going on.
Yes. So we actually have two signature events, which is our Wig Out Gala. It is in April this year, April 5th to be exact. And then we have our Pink Out 5K. So we're excited to have our Pink Out 5K. You know, woohoo, we've already, you know, we were able to, you know, get that underway and get that accomplished. And we were very happy about the turnout and how people responded to it. So we're very excited about that. Yes. So throughout the month of October, we have various fundraisers from various organizations that we have partnered with, such as Rudy's Barbecue, where they will give a portion of their proceeds for the month of October back to the organization. Last year, they raised $10,000.
Wow.
This year, we don't know yet, so we're excited about that. Lucy's as well, they're also donating for the entire month of October back to the organization. So we have a lot of different partners, a lot of different collaborations that happen. And you can also find that on our website at www.checkforalump.org, because there's so many that are going on, and I should know all of them. But
you should be able to rattle them all off the top of your head.
Yes, I know. Yeah, no, that's not going to happen, unfortunately. But
there is a test at the end of this where we're going to ask a lot of questions about who,
rapid fire,
how much you get. Well, that's cool. I mean, that's super, you know, exciting that you have all of these collaborations with organizations throughout the Valley that support what
our mission.
Exactly.
Our mission. And in doing so, they're supporting their local community and their local, you know, the people where they work, play, and live. So they're not only, of course, supporting our organization, but more importantly, they're supporting our mission that helps people in our local community.
Yeah, I love that. I love it so much.
Thank you.
So I know you mentioned it a couple of times, but so where can people go for more information?
Yes. So they can visit our website at www.checkforalump.org. And they can, I mean, we have so much going on our page, on our social media page as well. So on Facebook is checkforalump.org. Our Instagram is checkforalump.org. So you can go on there and find us. And you'll get an array of different events that are happening throughout the Valley in the month of October. And then, honestly, just throughout the year, we do, again, partner with various corporations and local organizations to ensure that, you know, people understand that it doesn't just start and stop in October.
Yes.
Breast cancer.
Yes, but thank you.
The entire year, you know, so that we try and cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Well, that was so much information. so many exciting things. I mean, really, like I'm super excited to be able to share this podcast with people so that they can learn a little bit more about the organization, learn a little bit more about, you know, what services and supports are provided and ways to support the organization.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We have a lot of volunteer opportunities. So, you know, that's also on our website. And then just being an ambassador to breast health, whether you're with our organization or another, you know, organization, you know, breast health is breast health. And, you know, anybody can say it, anybody can do it. And we encourage that.
Yeah. And for everyone.
And for everyone.
Yes, everyone.
Yes, everyone. Absolutely. So. Absolutely.
Well, I want to take this time to say thank you so much for coming into the studio, being with us here today, sharing so much great information. Again, I love what you guys are doing, and I'm excited to be able to participate in some of these events that I know you guys have going on. That's a little selfish of me, but the Pink Out was great. Yeah. So I can't wait to do it next year. And we'll definitely have to check out the wig gala and see what that's all about.
Yes. So thank you for having me on, and congratulations on your book, Behind the Ribbon, right?
Behind the Pink Ribbon.
Behind the Pink Ribbon. Yeah. I apologize.
That's okay.
Yes. That's awesome.
Yeah. It just launched October 1st.
Yay. Congratulations to that. And hopefully I'll be out the whole dragon boating, right? Yeah. I haven't been out there in a long time.
We need you back out. We like to see your face.
I know. Jolie's like, Desiree, you going to come back? And I'm like, I am. I'm so sorry. So, yes, thank you for all that you do and for this incredible podcast to bring a voice to breast health, breast cancer. And, you know, it's real women. This is real life.
Absolutely.
And we shouldn't be ashamed. We shouldn't hide from it. We should celebrate and talk about it because by talking, you know, creates that environment of impacting it even better.
Right. And I have always felt one of my favorite quotes is, don't be afraid to share your story, because your story might inspire somebody else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that. Love it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of Behind the Pink Ribbon. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. If you or anyone you know would be interested in sharing your story, please send an email to podcast@behindthepinkribbon.com.
You've been listening to Behind the Pink Ribbon, produced by American Creative Consulting, mixed and mastered at Riverview Podcasting Studios. For more information, please visit designbyacc.com.